I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, offering up a safe space if you are one of them there. Independent thinkers. This is Friday. Next hour, we will do what we always do, False Flag Friday. We're going to take a look at what's going on around the world. Not too much on the headlines these days, but we will take a look at it every week. Make sure we are abreast of the hot spots in the world and the nefarious things that we may be treated to going forward. And then we will finish up, as we always do, with my clips of the week. With this week on the crazy train. A lot to get to today. We're going to actually spend a little bit of time on the Jeffrey Epstein situation. It looks like Tucker Carlson covered it the other day. I found a clip before we got into the studio today. Obviously, this is not talked about much on the mainstream media. It's come back a little bit because of the connection between the judge who signed the search warrant for Mar-a-Lago and his representation, apparently, of some of Jeffrey Epstein's cohorts, his scheduler, his pilot, some of these kinds of people. But I had run across some campaign donation information on a great site. If you kind of want to know a little bit more about the World Wrestling Federation that we know as Republicans versus Democrats, there's a site called Open Secrets you need to be familiar with. It's really quite a great tool. You can go in and pretty much find out, you know, what industries support a candidate, what large contributors they get, and you can see their policy stances when they go in front of the American people line up pretty heavily with their big campaign donors, and that's not you. So Open Secrets had just an interesting thing. It was completely unrelated to anything else. I just happened to see the name of a big donor to both Republicans and Democrats, but really known to be one of the largest Republican donors out there. Again, they contribute to both parties. But if you want to know why the Jeffrey Epstein situation has not and probably will never be resolved, nobody will be held accountable for any of these things, this story that we get to next half hour will explain it to you. Let's see. I've got some quotes of the day today. Got to the studio a little late today, so I need to pull up my stuff. Now, yeah, here it is. This is a quote from Bastiat. He said, "Sometimes the law defends plunder and participates in it. Sometimes the law places the whole apparatus of judges, police, prisons, and gendarmes at the service of the plunderers and treats the victim, when he defends himself, as a criminal." Sometimes the law defends plunder and participates in it. Sometimes the law places the whole apparatus of judges, police, prisons, and gendarmes at the service of the plunderers and treats the victim, when he defends himself, as a criminal. This is Bastiat. I don't have a date on this quote, but it certainly is appropriate today, as we know that the federal government is set to hire, 87,000 new armed IRS agents. The law places the whole apparatus of judges, police, prisons, and gendarmes at the service of the plunderers and treats the victim, when he defends himself, as a criminal. That is the situation here in the United States. Judge Napolitano kind of weighed in on this, too. Judge Napolitano, I want you to remember, is a libertarian judge. Libertarians much more bold in their condemnation of these kinds of things than the mealy-mouthed conservative politician who suddenly has a problem with the IRS. But I'm waiting to see if they repeal this should the red wave come. And we're going to talk about the red wave in a little bit here, too. But this is Judge Napolitano.
The federal government is totally and utterly out of control. The CIA is unconstitutional. The FBI is unconstitutional. The NSA is unconstitutional. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms is unconstitutional. Look, yesterday on the floor of the House of Representatives, the great Congressman Thomas Massie pointed out to his colleagues that the very weapons that they were trying to make illegal, which they are calling weapons of war, are possessed by the Post Office, the Department of Education, the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Commerce. So he offered an amendment, if these things are weapons of war, to ban those weapons from ownership by anybody except the Department of Defense. And he forced the Democrats to vote in favor of keeping weapons of war in the hands of the Post Office and the Department of Agriculture. This is absurd, but this is where the government is today. The American public needs to know this. And I'll repeat what I said at the outset. What happened to Donald Trump happens every day of the week in America. If his name were Donald Jones, we wouldn't even know about it.
Amen. Oh, this is the point I've been driving home ever since the raid on Mar-a-Lago. These kinds of things have been happening to average Americans. Yeah, if his name was Donald Jones, his house was raided in a pre-dawn raid based on nothing, a targeted, selected prosecution. Nobody seems to care. And I talked about it, I think, at length on either Tuesday or Wednesday. The political class really has suddenly gotten up in arms about unfair targeting and searches and seizures. They've been completely silent for the last 50 years. While these agencies have been doing the same thing to the American people. I wanted to start off today. It's Friday. We'll start off today with some good news. I mean, this is certainly, I don't know, it's a pessimistic show. I hope it's an informative show. I hope it's a way to get people to think about things slightly differently. But there have been some real victories. First of all, we'll start off with Liz Cheney out this week. And I mean, she was not just beaten in an election. She was prison pounded in Wyoming. An absolutely brutal beatdown. And a message to her and her evil father and all like her that your time is up. Kurt Schlichter wrote this about Liz Cheney. And I'm familiar. He's a good writer. He's a bit of a normie Republican to me, but he's a very clever guy, a very good writer. I'd be very interested to go back and look at his pieces, you know, maybe in the early 2000s when Dick Cheney was the vice president, and I would imagine he was heaping praise upon the Cheney family at that time. I'm glad that the mood has changed towards people like the Cheneys, but here's what Kurt Schlichter wrote yesterday. She is Republican monkeypox, you know. She is a walking, talking, warmongering, loathsome disease infecting the nether regions of the Republican Party. And her resounding rejection by the decent Americans of Wyoming demonstrates that we are curing the infection that is her kind. The Bill Kristols, the Jen Rubens, the Jeff Flakes, and the John McCains are gone, and we don't miss them. Miracle Whip Mitt will be gone next time. Now, this is fantastic. Certainly happy to have the company that people are seeing these warmongering neocons for what they are. But I want you to remember when you listen to Sean Hannity and most of these national conservative talk show hosts, they were the ones out there telling you to vote for John McCain and Mitt Romney. Not with any equivocation either. They were enthusiastically telling you what patriots John McCain and Mitt Romney were in 2008, 2012. I was out campaigning for Ron Paul. Skating to where the puck was going. So it's good to have most of these people here. It's good to see conservatives waking up. Just stop falling in love with politicians as a rule, I think, is one of the first things. And the second is to maybe start paying attention to the people that warned you about these people decades before it became popular. And then there was this. If we want to talk about victories, we want to celebrate a win. This is just fantastic. Brian Stelter is out at CNN. The Brian Stelter Reliable Media Show has been canceled at CNN. Zero Hedge put it this way, CNN is down one potato after the network canceled host Brian Stelter's Sunday Media Affairs Show, Reliable Sources leaving tens of his fans crestfallen. Brian Stelter, he one of the absolute worst out there, reliable sources, and he, you know, it was almost one of these absurdist productions at CNN when they have a show called Reliable Sources at a time where fewer and fewer and fewer and almost nobody in the country trusts the mainstream media any longer, CNN being among the worst. Just to dance on the Brian Stelter grave for just a second, here's a great montage. I found this under on the Daily Wire's Twitter feed, a montage of CNN. Who could have guessed they would be failing so miserably?
This brand new research by Gallup says American trust in the mass media is at its lowest point since 2016 and near a record low overall.
Jeff Zucker has announced his immediate resignation as the president of CNN. This comes amid an investigation into what Jeff Zucker calls a consensual relationship.
What happened and where CNN goes from here?
You were caught masturbating on camera. You since then have been on leave from CNN. Do I have all that right?
And now we're welcoming you back.
You got it all right, sad to say.
The biggest media story this weekend, it's the firing of Chris Cuomo from this network, CNN. Late Wednesday, a lawyer contacted CNN with a sexual misconduct complaint about Cuomo.
Joining me now, the man who accused Don Lemon of sexual assault. His accuser claims Lemon started rubbing himself.
But the even bigger point, I think, is about what the press is. Is it produced by reporters or by repeaters? Repeaters are the talk radio shouters. They're on TV and radio telling the same story every day.
President Trump.
Telling the same story every day.
Repeaters are Twitter trolls who anonymously amplify propaganda and try to wear the rest of us down with their repetition.
Repetition. It's much better in a visual format, but this is the fall of CNN, and I find the Brian Stelter firing to be especially juicy just because he is the one who has tried to continue to prop up the mainstream media. Just the title of his show, Reliable Sources. You will not find those on any of the mainstream networks, and the vast majority of the American people know it. And apparently now Brian Stelter knows it, too. He'll still end up somewhere, maybe New York Times, but losing his show. CNN finally realizing the error of their ways to some small, tiny degree. We'll see how it continues to shake out. Right,
I went home with a waitress the way I always do.
So kind of across the board, really, when you do step back and take a look at it, it's we're playing whack-a-mole these days with horrific things popping up. There are battles yet to be fought. One, the biggest one I will get into in just a second. But there have been, you know, there are a lot of victories, a lot of snapback against this attack on children and the transgenderism taught in schools. There are a lot of victories that are coming. CNN's being slowly dismantled, sold off for parts. Liz Cheney being vanquished is certainly a good sign. That's really a big sign. This has been in the past Republican Party royalty, and as I've mentioned a couple of times now, come January of 2023, we will not have one single Bush, Clinton, Cheney, Obama in any of the positions of power anymore. It doesn't mean that they will be neutered, trust me. I've got a story. I don't know if I'll get to it today, because it's in This Week on the Crazy Train. Apparently, Liz Cheney had $14 million. She still has $7.5 million left in her campaign war chest to launch a presidential bid. Now, there's something behind that. She can't for a second think she's going to win. I don't know if she's trying to play spoiler by splitting some Republicans from Donald Trump should he get the nomination. I'm not sure exactly what's there, but what just struck me is, why in the hell do you need to raise $14 million to run for a position that pays, I believe, $160,000 in a state like Wyoming that does not have a large population? She raised $14 million, still has $7 million in her little slush fund there that she can use for other pursuits of office. $14 million for a $160,000 job from a very unpopulated state. This is everything that's wrong with politics. And who the hell is giving? Well, we know. I'm sorry. I almost started to ask a stupid question. Who's giving Liz Cheney $14 million to run for a $160,000 a year job? This is like, these are like student loans on steroids. Of course, these are politicians never have to pay this money back. We know it's actually payola. Kids go out and get $120,000 of student loans to go out and get a $32,000 a year job, not understanding the finances involved with that, but at least they have to pay it back. These politicians raise $14 million for a $160,000 job. Of course, they never have to pay the money back themselves. They just do it by using the U.S. Treasury, the U.S. budget, to pay off. And we know the weapons manufacturers have always lavished money on the Cheney family. I'm just so glad that Republicans are finally kind of awake to that. But there are battles still yet to be fought. And I think the biggest one right now is this new expansion of a heavily armed IRS. This is one of those things, you know, I talk about it a lot, maybe too much, that libertarians warned about things like the Patriot Act, the National Defense Authorization Act, a lot of these things that you're now suffering the kind of, libertarians warned about the money printing, warned about massive government deficits, warned about inflation. I've been warning about inflation for 5 years on this air. And I can kind of see those things. You know, maybe it's just too hard to wrap your mind around that stuff. Well, everything feels fine now, but I got to tell you, hiring 87,000 new IRS agents and arming them, it doesn't need to take a whole lot of time to see what a bad idea this is. I'm really not sure what Americans are on board with this. If the left is somehow on board with this, they may have been hoodwinked to believe that this new IRS army is just going to target the uber wealthy, that for some reason it takes 87,000 government employees armed to take down, what, a few hundred billionaires. The left may actually believe this. But some people are doing some calculations and finding out, to any of you Democrats out there who may support this new IRS army, here's what they're saying. The IRS audited 197 low-income families for every high-wealth family in 2019. That's according to the GAO, the Government Accountability Office. This is a number that some experts expect to climb as an IRS turbocharged with more money and manpower. So for every high-wealth family audited in 2019, they audited 197 low-income families. Now, if you think that the IRS is not going to keep up that proportion, I believe you are probably wrong. A previous CBO analysis found using a similar funding plan featured in the Inflation Reduction Act found audit rates would be restored to levels around 10 years ago. And this story goes on to say that the receiving end, the vast majority of these audits will be of low and middle class workers, not of the billionaire class. And so this is a battle yet to be fought, not a win. This is almost, in my mind, the litmus test of whether there's even a kernel of any goodness left in the Republican Party should a red wave occur. If they do not reverse this particular spending plan, defund the hiring of 87,000 new armed IRS agents, if they do not immediately, if they start campaigning on, we promise next time, if you just vote for us, we'll undo, we'll get the IRS off your back. Of course, like everything, Republicans have participated and funded and encouraged the IRS for now, what, over 100 years, never saying anything about it. This one is so egregious that they are having to at least pay some lip service to the abuse that this proposes. But the Republicans have constantly funded the Internal Revenue Service, even knowing this is an organization that treats Americans all like you're guilty. You have to prove your innocence, turning their entire judicial system on its head. You're presumed guilty. An all-powerful central government enforcement agency that can come in on a whim and destroy your life, and Republicans have done nothing. So we'll see if they actually take any actions on this. But I've been seeing, and I'm not sure if this is just programming. Sure, I'm seeing a lot of headlines right now that the red wave that is anticipated in the midterms is evaporating. And, I guess it has yet to be seen. I know many people will say, well, yeah, when the elections aren't fair and above board, so the Democrats are just going to steal these things. But is there any possibility with the inflation that we're seeing right now, a new headline out now, it now costs $300,000 to raise a child. It was, I believe, when my children were born, and I had twins, so I was very aware of this number as it was floated around upon their birth. I think when my kids were born, it was $220,000 to raise a child. As they got into their teen years, that number had been raised to $250,000 to raise a child. It is now costing, by these estimates, $300,000 to raise a child. That is to age 18, I believe. And let me tell you, with two 21-year-olds, the spending does not stop at 18. If there's any parents out there who are looking at 18 being the finish line where you get your kids off the payroll, that is certainly not the case for any of us. All of the parents out there who have older children will tell you that is not the case. But $300,000 to raise a child with inflation, is there any way the Democrats can hold on to anything anywhere around this country, even in the blue states after COVID? And what we know over the last 2 years since the last midterm election in 2020, or not midterm, but last election of House of Representatives and a third of the Senate. You just think about all of the things the blue states did, the authoritarian Democrat Party when it came to COVID restrictions, and we're finding out even the most daft Democrat by now has to understand that lockdowns didn't work, masking your kids didn't work and wasn't necessary. I mean, all of these authoritarian policies that came out of the left largely, it wasn't only. Tate Reeves certainly exercised his executive authority here in the state of Mississippi to boss business owners around for a considerable amount of time. But in these blue states, they have to be awake and say, we can't have this anymore. Our businesses are all shutting down. But we'll see. I am certainly hoping there is a red wave in the midterms, and I will be watching with great interest to see if the Republican Party immediately repeals this IRS stuff. I did want to say this, too. I was just looking through this story about the IRS, and it mentioned the IRS chief's, what is his first name? It may be Charles. I didn't clip that. Charles Rettig. Charles P. Rettig, R-E-T-T-I-G. He is the IRS commissioner. And I was just curious as I was reading this. I do what I always do, and I use my mouse, and I highlight the name, and I right-click copy, and open a new window, and I left-click paste, and I just take a look at who these people are. Charles Rettig, I just was curious to know, where did he come from before he was the IRS head? Rettig was a partner at the Beverly Hills tax controversy law firm of Hulkman, Salkin, Rettig, Tosher, and Perez. He worked at the firm for over 36 years, where he represented individuals and corporations before federal and state taxing authorities. So the guy who's heading up the IRS has 36 years in representing the wealthy and corporations against taxation. This is why, to any of the left out there that's excited about these new powers from the IRS, understand that the people running the IRS, the people running our political system, they take their marching orders. They are buddies with these elites that you think they're going after. It's just never going to happen. But it is interesting that our IRS commissioner, who is about to unleash 87,000 new armed IRS agents on the American people, was actually defending big corporations and super wealthy for 36 years in court against taxation. So keep that in mind. When I come back, I want to talk about this Jeffrey Epstein stuff. I'm going to tell you why it's never, ever going to be, never going to be solved. Certainly not by our political class. The Libertarian Party made a big deal in one of their tweets. They said, why are we the only party? Why are we the only party calling for a release of all of the names and those implicated and the prosecution of those implicated in the Jeffrey Epstein child sex trafficking ring? They said, why are we the only party calling for this? I mean, isn't this a popular position? Aren't most Americans, I would say, what, 99%? I don't know. There's some freaks in our society. 98%. 98% of the American people disgusted by the idea of trafficking underage girls for uber-wealthy people. About 98% of the people are probably on board with that. So why aren't Republicans and Democrats hell-bent, and not just now, but for the last 20 years, why have they not been hell-bent to expose this child sex trafficking ring? I would imagine it's got to be great for any campaign, or if you're in law enforcement at the federal level, anybody that comes out and says we have held everybody accountable that was abusing underage girls at the hands of Jeffrey Epstein, I would imagine that would be wildly popular. So why aren't they going after the people? Well, I think I've got one part of the answer when we come back. Stick around.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. One of the things that I do with this show as an observer of the political system, not a Republican like most conservative talk show hosts, is to try to point out and really kind of dispel some of this idea that, you know, the Republican Party in particular. Now, there's some good Republicans out there, but the Republican Party itself is a corrupt organization, too. Now, I'm all for a red wave. There is enough of the difference in the parties that the left has become clinically insane, criminally insane, and so they must be taken away from any levers of power. But if you get the Republican Party, so many people for decades now, most of my adult life, all of my adult life, what most conservatives think is that they show up to the polls, they pull the lever for an R, they send up some establishment character from Mississippi, and your job is done. Oh, and then you're going to vote for Trump. That's it. That's all you need to do. Just keep voting R. One of the things about the Epstein thing that I see a lot on the right is this idea that it's these Democrats you point to. People like Bill Clinton, to Bill Gates, a lot of these people that are on the left that were involved in the Epstein stuff. And I am here to flesh out the story. What I talk about with a lot of conservative media, I think, is not that they lie by commission. They don't come out and tell you a lie, but they mislead through omission and they leave a whole lot of stuff out. When it comes to the sexual perversion stuff, there's this idea on the right where, the Republican Party are the good guys. And I have to remind people, you know, it was Dennis Hastert, the Republican Speaker of the House during the Bush years, and maybe during Obama? Dennis Hastert was the Republican Speaker of the House, and he was diddling young boys. Ultimately, he got busted for paying one off. That's really all he got in trouble for. Not for the sexual abuse of minors, but for actually sending $10,000. I think he got in some tax trouble. They didn't hold him accountable for anything else. This stuff goes, and if you have not seen Conspiracy of Silence, the unreleased documentary about essentially trafficking young boys through Republican and Democrat, but it was kind of, at the time, Republicans were in charge. I'm just telling you, this perversion stuff is bipartisan. So why hasn't anybody gotten to the bottom of the Jeffrey Epstein stuff? I'll also remind you that while, you know, the only reason I guess this has come back up is because at this particular time is because of the connections between the judge who signed off on the Trump search warrant and his representation of some of the Epstein employees, I believe. My understanding is. Well, Tucker Carlson, because of that, because this has kind of come back up, Tucker Carlson did a clip. I wanted to play a couple little sound bites from his story on it.
So there's been a lot of leaking from the DOJ recently, but somehow the Justice Department has not leaked anything really about Jeffrey Epstein, including his client list. Why is that? Well, Elon Musk, a big picture man, if there ever was one, asked that question recently. Quote, "The only thing more remarkable than DOJ not leaking the list is that no one in the media cares," he wrote. Well, that's true. And while we're on the topic of Epstein, why did Bruce Reinhart, the magistrate judge who approved the Mar-a-Lago raid, represent several of Jeffrey Epstein's employees, including his pilot and his schedule?
Now, here's where I need to inject so that we make sure that we're getting a full story, a full accounting of everything. Why did, I would ask this question if I were Tucker Carlson, why did Donald Trump appoint Alexander Acosta to be our labor secretary after he was the one who negotiated the sweetheart plea deal with Jeffrey Epstein in 2005 that gave him basically almost like house arrest? The guy had his own private cell. He could kind of come and go as he wanted to. He could leave during the day to go to work. And I think maybe he just spent a few weekends in jail for 13 months running a huge child sex trafficking ring. The guy who negotiated that sweetheart deal and then said on the record, well, I was told he was part of an intelligence operation, Trump made him a labor secretary. So these people are all through the system and they keep being promoted.
Huh, weird. Bobby Cappucci is a podcast host who is doggedly following this story. He joins us tonight. Bobby, thanks so much for coming on. So you follow this full time, one of the few who does. Why haven't we gotten any of this information in the form of leaks to the New York Times, do you think?
Well, in my opinion, it has to do with how far it goes. This is such a gigantic in scope operation that he was running that if they really dug deep, that it would be almost earth-shattering what they would discover. If you take a look at some of the similar cases in New York at a similar time for similar crimes, R. Kelly or Keith Raniere, both were hit with RICO charges, but Epstein, Maxwell, no RICO there? I wonder why.
Well, I'm going to tell you why in just a few minutes here. Yeah, I think this is very interesting. Now, what I caution people to think about is this is just a bunch of Democrats protecting their own. They're in power and they're not getting to the bottom of it. I remind you, it was the William Barr Justice Department that allowed, air quotes here in the studio, Jeffrey Epstein to kill himself while he's in custody. And I still suspect Ghislaine Maxwell is not even in custody, since we've not seen a single picture of her. It's interesting, they're doing a montage of clips during this Tucker Carlson thing of pictures of Ghislaine and Jeffrey Epstein. Not any current pictures of Ghislaine Maxwell, I'll point out, because I don't think we've got one from the last, 5 or 10 years. Certainly none of her in custody anytime soon. But they got to this in this segment with Tucker.
Really quick, you keep reading suggestions that there is a trove of videotape of other people at Epstein's properties. Do you think that's true?
Well, what I can tell you is all of the survivors who had access to his townhouse, all of them that had access to Palm Beach, they all said that there were surveillance rooms in those houses set up for that specific purpose, to take video of everybody who came in and to document it. So we're talking about the people that actually lived through this telling us that, and nobody right. cares. We have, I mean, when the Daily Mail is leading the charge to go after somebody like Prince Andrew and not the Gray Lady or the Washington Post, that tells you right. everything you need to know about where the legacy media is at.
Well, that's exactly right. And of course, he was connected to various intelligence agencies, which might be the real answer. Bobby, I appreciate.
Yeah, Tucker Carlson rightfully mentions. Oh, yeah. And Jeffrey Epstein was tied to intelligence agencies. And the implication is that he was actually Jeffrey Epstein was tied to our own CIA and anyone, Israeli Mossad, our great friends, the Israelis, that we send billions of dollars to. They were just facilitating a human sex trafficking ring of underage girls. But we don't dare speak of that. We need to make sure that we're sending over money and doing everything we can. Israel's got to be our greatest ally at all times forever. It doesn't matter. They can never do anything wrong. Everything needs to be about Israel. Don't pay any attention to the fact that their secret services were actually blackmailing our politicians by using underage girls, not to mention our own CIA. So the question is, why hasn't this been leaked? When I come back, this story on Open Secrets, which is really just about campaign donations. But boy, I think you can find out a lot of information. You can connect a lot of dots by understanding the flow of money through politics. So I think this next story will tell you why. Have no faith. Don't have any faith in either one of the political parties, Republicans included, to get to the bottom of the Epstein situation. And I'll show you why when we come back.
Yeah. It's been a ride. I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now some of you might still be in that place. If you're trying to get out, just follow me.
So in just recent days, the National Libertarian Party and Tucker Carlson are asking the question, why are we not getting to the bottom of this Epstein thing? The Libertarian Party asks, why are they the only party saying that everybody should be exposed and prosecuted to the full extent of the law for participating in this huge child sex trafficking ring? Republicans and Democrats strangely silent on that. And I just ran across this story. This was on Open Secrets. The headline is, following 2018 break from the GOP, Victoria's Secret founder continues to donate big to Republicans. Leslie Wexner, known as Les Wexner, the former owner of American cultural magnate Victoria's Secret, was once named the wealthiest Republican donor in Ohio. Even after he publicly parted with the GOP in 2018, he's still contributing tens of thousands to Republicans nationwide. Now, who is Les Wexner? To those of you who might not know the details, because boy, you have to have read, you have to have really gone to deep dives online to find any real information about the Epstein stuff. Les Wexner is the guy who gave power of attorney to Jeffrey Epstein, longtime buddy of his, and gave him a $58 million townhouse in New York where a lot of this blackmail took place. This was a place known to have had a room full of monitors and recording devices for every room, including the bathrooms within this townhouse, that was already set up that way when Les Wexner gave it to Jeffrey Epstein. Les Wexner, name very rarely ever mentioned anywhere, and certainly he hasn't been held account to any of this stuff. He was the CEO or the founder of Victoria's Secret and Limited Brands. So the story goes on. I don't have time to get into the whole thing, but this is on Open Secrets. You can take a look at it. But the bottom line is that he and his wife, what's her name? Koppel, somebody. Abigail Koppel. They've contributed over $5.3 million to state and federal campaigns. This is both Republican and Democrat. The wife made a large donation to Democrats, made a $750,000 donation to the Joint Fundraising Committee Democratic Grassroots Victory Fund in 2020. Now, Les Wexner made a public split with the Republican Party in 2018. This is when a lot of the Epstein stuff was really boiling over, and they just couldn't hide his name completely. So for appearances, he appeared to step back. But Open Secrets is revealing he's continuing to give to Republicans, and who he's giving to is also interesting. Wexner made a $250,000 donation to the Republican Governors Association in January of this year. The group has not reported any contributions attributed to Wexner in quarterly reports to the Internal Revenue Service so far since then. The Republican Governors Association did not return Open Secrets' request for comment regarding the status of his donation. Wexner's alleged contribution would have been his first six-figure donation to a political group since he gave $250,000 to the Republican Governors Association in June of 2018. He goes on to say, Wexner also wrote large checks over the years to prominent GOP political organizations. And again, look, this is for both parties. What I'm trying to tell you is, if you want to know why under the Trump administration and the Republican-controlled Congress and the Republican Party as it exists now, why nobody is getting to the bottom of the Epstein thing. See, there's this idea that there's so much corruption in Washington, D.C., yet nobody's ever prosecuted for anything. Isn't that strange? Both parties hold power from time to time. Yet they never actually, there's a lot of talk. There's a lot of rhetoric about taking down the other party, but none of the real crimes are ever actually brought to light because neither party actually, it's mutual assured destruction. They're all so dirty in Washington, D.C. They talk a big game and they do absolutely nothing because they're all on the take from the same people. Wexner also wrote large checks over the years to prominent GOP political organizations, including sending over $236,300 to the National Republican Congressional Committee, the House GOP's political spending arm. This was interesting. Even after Wexner announced his break from the GOP, he continued to donate to the Promoting Our Republican Team, PORT PAC, a leadership PAC affiliated with Senators Rob Portman. In 2018, that year, the PAC donated $10,000 each to Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, and $5,000 to Rick Scott and Senator Lindsey Graham. Wexner had not personally donated to Cruz, Hawley, or Scott, but made one donation of $2,500 to Lindsey Graham. And so the story just goes on and on about this tremendous power. He's known as the richest man in Ohio, And he has been funding the Republican Party, and his wife has been funding the Democrat Party for years now. This is the reason why the Epstein stuff gets no traction, because the money is still flowing from the people involved in Epstein. This does not account for also, I'm sure, a lot of people who are probably serving in office right now that may be compromised on some of these tapes, but certainly their donors are compromised on some of these tapes. I mean, I also wonder, you know, you say, well, why wouldn't the mainstream media go after this? Well, of course, you know, they're going to carry water for the left. Fox News would carry water for the Republican Party. But Victoria's Secret and Limited Brands, huge advertisers. Very, very large advertisers. Print media, television media. Victoria's Secret and Limited Brands sloshes around a lot of money to the media. They're not going to bite that hand that feeds them, just like they won't bite the hand of the pharmaceutical industry that provides the vast majority of their budgets. So anyway, Les Wexner, this guy's, I mean, he is known to have been integral in this entire operation. He is still one of the top GOP contributors out there in the country. I just think these things should be explained. I'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Every Friday at 10 o'clock, I switch gears into foreign policy stuff in a segment called False Flag Friday, where I have attempted over the past 4 years, I didn't start this segment at the very beginning, the nexus of the show in 2017, but there were just so many things I think people didn't understand about how you were lied and manipulated into all kinds of wars and military actions and policies, aggressive policies towards other countries that are built on lies, manipulated events. Next Tuesday in the second hour, I'm going to have a guy on who's recently written a new book from, he is with the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. We're getting close to another anniversary of 9/11. I don't know exactly what happened on 9/11, but I know it wasn't what they told us it was. So we'll have one of the members of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth on next Tuesday from 10 to 11 o'clock. So tune in for that. That's a great, very interesting organization. If you've not gone to their website, it's ae911truth.com, I believe, or .org. And you can look at some of the videos there. These are architects and engineers questioning the way the buildings came down in New York City on September 11th. But this may be an actual literal false flag Friday. The news right now when it comes to Ukraine is the idea that somebody is about to set off some nuclear fallout through bombing a nuclear plant out there. Russia is warning of a false flag attack by the Ukrainians. The Ukrainians are saying it's going to be Russia's fault. Ukraine plans to carry out artillery strikes on Russia-controlled, I'm not even going to try to say this, Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant on Friday, and then accuse Moscow of causing a disaster at the site. This is what the Russian Defense Ministry said on Thursday. The predicted attack will be timed to coincide with the ongoing visit to Ukraine by UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres. This is what Moscow insisted. An official said they had detected movements of Ukrainian troops indicating a looming provocation. Kiev has deployed, and this is from Russian media. I fail to understand why, but maybe I'll read it in some neocon rag. Someone could explain to me. The Russians are in control of this nuclear power plant right now. Why they would deliberately cause an event to something that they've already got control of is beyond me. But Russia is saying Kiev has deployed units trained in responding to the use of weapons of mass destruction, pre-positioning them to report a radiation leak and demonstrate a purported action to mitigate it, Russian military spokesman Igor Konashevo said. The ministry said it expects a Ukraine artillery unit to attack the plant on Friday, that's today, from the city of Nikopol. Quote, the blame for the consequences of the strike will be attributed to the Russian armed forces. Russia has accused Ukraine of conducting frequent drone and artillery strikes against the nuclear power plant in the city of Energodar. Over the past few weeks, Kiev has denied responsibility and said Russian forces were attacking the plant to discredit Ukraine. Ukrainian officials have also claimed that Russia is using this facility as a military base. The Russian military defense did conclude that the explosions at the Russian airfield in Crimea were the result of a diversionary operation. The term that Russia uses for that is diversia, meaning sabotage or wrecking. Ukraine is now going after Crimea, which has been under Russian control since the 2014 coup orchestrated by the United States when the people of Crimea voted 90-plus percent to be part of Russia and not of the new anti-Russia government in Ukraine. And today the Russians have announced that they have arrested two employees of the nuclear plant, one guard and one engineer, who were providing the Ukrainians with targeting coordinates and strike correction. Now Russia is warning that a major strike on this nuclear plant would have catastrophic consequences. So we will see how this plays out. But this could be one of those literal false flags where Ukraine bombs a nuclear facility, unleashes fallout. I believe it's Poland, Germany, and Slovenia, I think, are in the what they say would be the fallout zone from this thing. But do not put it past the Ukrainians anything to try to turn the tide of public opinion back in their favor. So we'll see exactly what takes place there. Also kind of interesting in foreign policy stuff, I don't know if people have been noticing. I pay attention to this stuff. I'm a nerd when it comes to foreign policy things. But I've noticed that things are suddenly heating up with Iran again. The news has been reporting that they are getting close to re-signing the Iran nuclear deal. Now, I know a lot of people out there didn't like the Iran nuclear deal. Why? Did you know anything about it? No. I didn't like it because Trump said it was no good. Trump tore it up. One of the first things he did, this was the Trump presidency to me, he would do something great, like he took us out of the Paris Climate Accords, and then he would do something disastrous, like taking us out of the JCPOA. And this was the nuclear deal with Iran. And I know a lot of people don't like that nuclear deal because it was put together during Obama's term and Trump tore it up. But I'll harken back to Benjamin Franklin. There has never been a good war or a bad peace. There was not war talk with Iran. They had not even been accused of violating the nuclear agreement. What Trump supporters told me was, yeah, but in 5 years it was going to sunset. And for some reason, that means, okay, instead of renegotiating it and extending it or doing anything else, you just rip it to shreds. That's what Trump did. I believe he did that at the behest of his masters, particularly in Israel. But what these negotiations for this nuclear deal with Iran seemed like they were kind of coming together. Iran apparently was asking for a little clarification, if the U.S. ripped up the agreement again, exactly what would take place? I don't blame them for that, because you cannot trust the U.S. State Department or foreign policy team of keeping their word on anything. Ask Russia. As we said, not one inch east, not one inch closer to Russia with NATO after the fall of the Soviet Union, and we violated that within a couple of years. So don't trust the U.S. on any kind of negotiations. Anyway, they were getting close to an agreement on the nuclear deal, and suddenly it was reported that Iran had put out a hit on John Bolton, and then after that one, they were considering Mike Pompeo. Now, personally, I believe if something like that had transpired, theoretically, that person should be awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. Is that too much? No. Then suddenly, so we had Iran taking out a hit on John Bolton. This is, again, as this nuclear deal is coming to fruition, possibly, Joe Biden's going to do a million things wrong. A million disasters will befall us because of the Biden administration. If they were able to re-ink the Iran nuclear deal, that would probably be a plus. Even if there's some corruption in it, even if there's some payola, isn't that better than war with Iran? So that suddenly they had this headline about Iran is targeting John Bolton. Then suddenly Salman Rushdie was attacked, supposedly by an Iranian Muslim as part of the fatwa. Salman Rushdie has been untouched. I believe this fatwa against Salman Rushdie has gone on since the 1980s, I believe, was when this fatwa was originally announced. Nothing had happened to Salman Rushdie during those 30 years or so But suddenly, on the eve of signing a deal with Iran, an Iranian attacks Salman Rushdie. It's more likely that this was probably a Mossad agent from Israel than an irate Iranian Muslim, but who knows. Then there was this. Another headline came out. Iran targets diplomats and political opponents on American soil. So suddenly Iran is just lashing out, and these are all things that could possibly derail any nuclear deal with Iran. Israeli Prime Minister Yair Lapid, I know I'm butchering all these names, he met with U.S. officials on Thursday and said if the Biden administration doesn't, quote, walk away from the current Iran nuclear deal talks, it will show weakness. That's right. You're weak if you do a peace deal with Iran. That's from this is the Israeli government over there. I don't know how many people have broken of their spell that the United States needs to carry water for the Israeli government, that the Israeli government is beyond reproach. I don't know if I've broken that spell with anybody yet. Maybe the trafficking of young underage girls as part of the Jeffrey Epstein thing. Does that tell you that maybe the Israeli government's up to no good, just like all governments around the world, that maybe they're not special and as pure as the driven snow, not to mention the treatment of the Palestinians? But boy, that's a bridge too far for most conservatives if you look into what goes on over there, where Israeli citizens are just given houses. If you're a Palestinian, you get up, you go to work, you go through all of the Israeli checkpoints, you go to work, and then you come home and you find all your stuff out on the street, and there's suddenly Israeli citizens just living in your home, and they just get to take it. I don't know. Doesn't feel like a real fair way to treat pretty much anybody. I got a couple other stories here, too. I tell you what, I'll take a good quick break. Another one of our good friends, the Saudis. It is quite amazing who, you know, we are this country that has our State Department representatives, our Secretary of State, just talk about how we are a champion for democracy and human rights around the world. We take down the Syrian government, the Libyan government, the Iraqi government, the Afghanistan government. We point to all of the human rights abuses around the world and involve ourselves militarily to make the world a safer place for the little guy. Yet it seems like most of our allies are some of the most authoritarian people out there. It's strange how that works. A quick story about our good friends, the Saudis, when we come back. And then I've got a good segue between false flag to crazy train. There's an EMT who's taken to TikTok to talk about the Anne Heche crash site. Kind of interesting. I'll let you draw your own conclusions. We'll be right back. Our good friends, the Saudi Arabians. That's right. Our presidents go over and do the sword dance with them. Well, except for Joe Biden. Joe Biden could only muster up a fist bump. They were certainly concerned that, I mean, they're already concerned that Joe Biden could trip over a cord on the ground as he moves about. So the sword dance was off. He went over and did a fist bump with Mohammed bin Salman over in Saudi Arabia. All other presidents go over and do the sword dance. Donald Trump currently in a big business partnership with the Saudi government. Our good friends, the Saudi government, that fine humanitarian organization, as Trump says, it's a gold rush with the LIV golf tournament that is challenging the PGA, stealing a bunch of the good golfers away. Saudis and Donald Trump making a ton of money off of that organization. But these are our good friends, the Saudis. You remember when we, during the Obama administration, we launched a war funding radical jihadists to take down the Syrian government because we said that Bashar al-Assad was being mean to his own people. And we're such champions of human rights. We had to rush in. And we're still there actually stealing their oil. This was just an interesting story about our good friends, those humanitarian Saudis. A Saudi court has sentenced a doctoral student to 34 years in prison for spreading rumors and retweeting dissidents. This is Salma al-Shahab, mother of two and researcher at Leeds University in Britain. She was apparently detained during a family vacation on January 15th of 2021, just days before she planned to return to the United Kingdom. She's told judges that she's been held for over 285 days in solitary confinement before her case was even referred to court. So 34 years for some dissident tweets. Our good friends, the Saudi Arabians. Here's the interesting thing about Saudi Arabia, and I've actually had this on my notes this whole week and just haven't had a chance to get to it. I'll probably break it down next week. you know, I understand why we kowtow to the Saudis and just ignore all of their various crimes, including the wholesale genocide in Yemen that's going on at the hands of the Saudis that our government is participating in. Obviously, it's around the petrodollar. It's very interesting. Saudi Arabia is making some other deals with some other countries. Is it possible that the Saudis, our good friends, the Saudis, Donald Trump's business partner, the Saudis, are about to stab us in the back and take the peg away from the petrodollar? If you think inflation's bad now, you wait till these people shift alliances on us, and there's a lot of evidence that's already happening. I'll cover that probably sometime next week. And then to finish up, this is kind of a segue between False Flag Friday and This Week on the Crazy Train. This is kind of interesting. So Anne Heche, the actress, recently died in a car crash, I think out in Hollywood, somewhere out in California. This was an EMT who took to the TikTokers. I cannot verify the veracity of his account of this. I've not even seen any of the footage of the Anne Heche crash. But there are a lot of people kind of suspicious about what's going on. Anne Heche was doing some movies about child trafficking, I believe, chemtrails, these kinds of things. So the conspiracy theorists, of which I'm a fellow traveler many times, have been talking about this. So Anne Heche had this wreck. It's also been compared to the Michael Hastings crash. Michael Hastings was doing some investigation into our dirty dealings in the Middle East, and suddenly he was burned beyond recognition in a fiery crash in his Mercedes years ago as he was opposing the government. Anyway, this is an EMT saying, interpreting what he saw at the Anne Heche crash site.
All right, so I need to make a video about this actress that they said died in that car crash, into the house, caught on fire. It looks like a movie set to me. I'm a fireman, paramedic. I've worked scenes like that. Those aren't real firemen. None of them had gloves on. All of us firemen are EMTs or medics. If she was burned up, she'd be IV, intubated, at least a BVM, bag valve mask, oxygenating her. She'd have the IV in place, fluids going. She wouldn't be wrapped up in a sheet. We don't put people in body bags, but that was a sheet wrapped on her. You also don't apply cool, wet dressings to somebody with that much body surface area. Burn up, okay? None of that makes sense. That wasn't a real incident. It seemed like a movie set. Take a look for yourself. She was also making movies about child trafficking and chemtrails.
Huh. So who knows? I just thought that was an interesting clip. Who knows? Are we being even lied to about the Anne Heche car crash? Who knows? All right, when I come back, we'll get it to it. This week on The Crazy Train, when we return. What's the frequency? Can it be shot? Bends a train. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show. We're about to put another week into the books. We do it the same way every Friday. We chronicle the world's descent into madness with this two-segment piece called This Week on the Crazy Train. All aboard! And this was just kind of a fun one. You want to talk about, I don't know if you've ever had needed legal representation before. Sometimes people can be upset with their attorneys, but nothing like what this client might be experiencing. I don't know if you saw this story. This is in Orange County out in California. When his medical malpractice trial concluded in April, Dr. Esam Qureshi left an Orange County civil courtroom in victory. Swiftly and unanimously, 12 jurors had decided that the gastroenterologist had not been responsible for the death of a patient. That was before his lawyer, Robert McKenna III, appeared in an online celebration video bragging of his work and saying the case involved, quote, a guy that was probably negligently killed, but we kind of made it look like other people did it. Citing these remarks by this defendant's attorney, the judge who presided over the trial has vacated the verdict, ordering the case back to court. Oh, ouch. You know, these things are big dollars. I think it might have been a $10 million suit. They won handily. This attorney goes to a party within his firm and makes this statement. It makes the rounds on social media, I guess. The video went pretty viral. Judge gets wind of it, orders them back to court to retry the case. Man, oof. Can't be good for a client there. All right, we'll start off with taking a look. They're planning a revamp of the CDC. In light of their tremendous failures ongoing up to and including today, the CDC is going to self-examine and retool a little bit.
And beyond the upheaval at the CDC, we're getting a better sense of what the future may hold for combating COVID, with plans for a new booster to be offered soon.
Woo-hoo.
For more, I'm joined by Dr. Ashish Jha, the White House COVID Response Coordinator. Good to have you here. Doctor, before we talk about the updated vaccines, let me ask you about this admission by the head of the CDC that the agency missed the mark in its COVID response.
No.
Especially when it came to communications. But is it just the CDC, in your opinion, as a whole of government failed on some levels here?
Yeah, so let's remind ourselves that Dr. Walensky, the director of the CDC, asked for this review of the CDC. I think that review was very well done. It laid out.
So the CDC has decided it's going to investigate itself for all of its many failures, and it's got the solutions. The same group that failed spectacularly during COVID, up to and including today, has self-examined, and they pinky swear they're going to be better going forward.
Out areas where the CDC needs to improve, and the bottom line is that she's committed to making those changes, and I think that's really important. To your broader question, yeah, you know, our government agencies weren't designed to manage a once-in-a-century crisis like this.
What? They're not designed to handle the big crises. I'd say tens of billions of dollars given to the CDC, that should be exactly their task.
And I think while many of them performed admirably, there is no question in my mind that these agencies could have done better.
All right, if I can, let me turn to the vaccines now. We've been told that a dual strain version, if you will, covering older variants as well as Omicron, may be ready in just a few weeks. Who will be the first in line? Is this essentially going to be a third booster?
Yeah, Lester, here's why the FDA has pushed us to build these vaccines. The bottom line is that this virus has evolved substantially since the first vaccines were built. This is why.
Yeah, it's become a complete cold. It's gone from the flu down to a cold.
We've seen waning immunity. The vaccines that are coming in a few short weeks are specifically designed for the virus that's out there. And I believe it's going to be available, and every American over the age of 12 will be eligible.
Oh.
Will this mark the time to retire what we now think of as fully vaccinated, those initial two doses?
Two shots is not enough.
No.
People need at least three. I think three provides that very high level of protection. And then just like the flu vaccine, where people need to get updated once a year, we probably need to continue to get updated with COVID vaccines on an ongoing basis.
All right, Dr. Ashish Jha, thank you for coming.
Yeah, it's all about the updates now. They said it's going to be, I think I played the head of Pfizer, maybe it was Moderna. So it's going to be just like the iPhones. We're just going to update you every year. This was a fun one. Another CDC operation gone bad.
Ohio poison control centers are sounding the alarm surrounding a liquid substance called sodium azide, found in some at-home COVID testing kits that could be toxic to children as well as adults if used incorrectly.
Our toxicology community has been both surprised that this was the ingredient in some of the kits and also concerned. We have seen exposures in all age groups.
The Drug and Poison Information Center at Cincinnati Children's Hospital reports an increase in calls to their hotline related to accidental exposure to the substance. So far, nearly 40 exposures were reported there, and the problem is nationwide.
We are one of 55 poison control centers, and nationwide, other poison centers have been reporting a similar finding, and there have been more than a couple of hundred exposures nationwide to sodium azide in test kits.
Doctors advise parents to keep the kids out of reach of children, and when testing children for COVID at home, to make sure they are supervised in order to avoid any adverse side effects from exposure.
Experts say following instructions is key. Some adults actually end up using the potentially harmful substance to swab their nose because they didn't follow directions.
You know, I had to buy a new blender the other day. And when I pulled it out, you know, it's got the cup part. I got a NutriBullet, whatever that thing, a magic bullet, something like that. So you've got the cup part, and then it's got the little grinder part, right? The little black base on it with the blades that spin around. There was a sticker on the blades thing that had a picture of someone with the blades spinning, putting their hand down on it with the big red circle with a line through it. So Americans need to be told, don't just put the blender base in, start spinning the blades, and then put your hand on it. And we're expected to use toxic chemicals to do our own at-home COVID tests. They're very concerned about the fact that the children are being exposed to this stuff and suffering the side effects of this chemical. And the CDC has come out and said they wanted to make sure that all side effects were saved for just the vaccines. Dr. McCullough came out. He's talking there, trying to roll out all of these new shots on us. And he breaks a little bit of news here, I guess.
As a brief update, we are rounding the last, hopefully the last wave of the BA5 Omicron curve. We don't know what's going to happen in the fall. There's great expectations with multivalent vaccines that have been developed against new variants as well as the original Wuhan spike protein. But the vaccines now have no clinical outcomes. There's no randomized trials showing that they do anything, that they're simply relying on immunobridging studies or the demonstration that antibodies are raised. And I can tell you, as a clinical trialist and as a clinical investigator, antibodies are not a sufficient surrogate of a therapeutic response to rely upon. So we have a great degree of uncertainty moving forward with the COVID-19 vaccine program.
Yeah, so basically what he's saying there is, so they're about to roll out some new boosters on you. That's what Dr. Ashish Jha just told you. More untested vaccines with no proven efficacy whatsoever. This was interesting. I believe this is all Australia, maybe Australia and Britain. I keep telling you, you have to go overseas to get any truth surrounding this genetic therapy experiment they're doing on the human race. Actually, I should kind of do a quiz. Well, I'll do the quiz at the end of it. This is stories that are actually appearing on foreign media.
A woman from New South Wales has died after taking the AstraZeneca vaccine.
An 18-year-old health worker has developed blood clots after getting her COVID vaccine.
An elderly woman has died in what's believed to be South Australia's first case of fatal blood clotting caused by the AstraZeneca COVID vaccine.
A Queensland man is in intensive care tonight, suffering a blood clot after receiving his AstraZeneca vaccine. He's one of five similar cases around the country.
The six new cases of blood clots have been officially linked to the AstraZeneca vaccine.
Three more cases of blood clots have been linked to the AstraZeneca vaccine, including one case in an 80-year-old man.
53-year-old South Australian man is tonight gravely ill in intensive care after suffering a blood clot linked to the AstraZeneca vaccine.
In breaking news, a Central Coast woman has died after receiving a COVID vaccine.
The head of the Therapeutic Goods Administration is calling for calm following the deaths of two people in our state who received the COVID vaccine.
Concerns around the safety of the AstraZeneca vaccine have been realised here in Australia, with medical experts confirming the death of a Central Coast woman is likely linked to the jab.
A major medical investigation is underway tonight over whether a local man suffered blood clots as a result of getting the Pfizer vaccine.
Australians are being urged not to jump to conclusions over the death of a woman from blood clots after receiving the COVID vaccine.
Nothing to see here. Move along. Move along. Nothing to see here.
Tonight, 7 News can reveal another similar death is also being investigated.
Authorities in Norway are investigating the deaths of at least 33 elderly Norwegians who received Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine.
And the nation's medical regulator has revealed 7 new cases of blood clots linked to the AstraZeneca vaccine.
A Launceston family is pleading for help after their teenage daughter fell ill after receiving the Pfizer vaccine. Faith Ranson has been in and out of hospital and suffers almost daily tics after experiencing what a leading doctor admits was an adverse reaction to the vaccine.
It's estimated 79,000 people have suffered adverse reactions to vaccines.
Now, just interesting, in that clip, you don't hear any American accents, do you? Strangely enough. No, those are all from overseas, a lot from Australia. There's some from Norway in there where they just came out and said it. 33 senior citizens in a nursing home died after taking up the Pfizer shot. Just very interesting. What's the difference? Here's the quiz. What's the difference between the United States, Norway, England, and Australia when it comes to media coverage of the vaccine? What's the difference? Pharmaceutical companies cannot advertise to the public in England, Germany, Norway, and Australia. Just us in New Zealand. So that's why you hear about the deaths actually reported on the news in these other countries. Okay, this one, if you're eating or drinking anything, put it down. This one made me throw up a little bit in my mouth, but I can't believe I haven't already played it. The arrogance, the hubris, after what you just heard, the CDC admits it has failed across the board, is having to retool because their response to COVID was so abysmal. The vaccines are actually killing and harming people across the globe. And we were treated to this from the Mini Mingala.
People go to medical school now. People are interested in science, not because of me, because people, most people don't know me, who I am. My friends know me. My wife knows me, but people don't know me. It's what I symbolize.
Oh, we know you. Yeah, we know exactly who and what you are.
And what I symbolize in an era of the normalization of untruths and lies and all the things you're seeing going on in society from January 6th to everything else that goes on, people, the craving for consistency, for integrity, for truth, and for people caring about people. It's called the Fauci effect, which is sort of like, you know, yes, trust me, I don't get excited about that. I mean, it's nice.
He doesn't get excited. The Fauci effect. People's craving for integrity and honesty. Kids flocking to medical schools to be the next Anthony Fauci. They're calling it the Fauci effect. There's been a Fauci effect, all right, but it has nothing positive associated with it. Also, for this week on the crazy train, RFK Jr. and his Children's Defense Network that has been pointing out the problems with shots, not just even COVID. They were doing this work long before. They have now been kicked off of all the social media platforms simultaneously, almost as if, if one was suspicious, if one was conspiracy-minded, almost in a coordinated effort, they have now been kicked off permanently from Facebook, Instagram, and all of the social media. We will continue to follow them. You can find them, I believe, at childrenshealthdefense.org, I believe. You can still find them there, and I encourage people to bookmark that page to get the other side of the story, social media being what it is. I can't imagine what is possibly causing this problem.
And an unexpected warning led to confusion in New York City's skies. On Monday, the FAA said it was reducing flights at the area's three major airports due to staffing issues. Travelers were warned to expect delays up to 2 hours. It's not known what positions needed to be filled. By mid-evening, the warning was lifted. The back and forth came as American Airlines announced it's cutting 31,000 flights in November due to staffing and other issues.
Gee. What could have possibly caused the staffing problems at the major airlines? Couldn't be their mandated vaccines. 31,000 flights in November canceled. I believe that's Thanksgiving, isn't it? That's going to be fun. Fun for everybody traveling. Let's see. Oh, I'm going to skip that one. I tell you what, I'll take a break. We'll come back. There's a lot of green insanity going on in the world. One really fun one. There is now a fat victim hierarchy. So we'll take a look at that. The bigger, the better, they say. I'll be right back.
From all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, final segment of the week. We're almost putting another one in the books. I want to remind everybody before I leave here for today, if you are looking for something to do this weekend, some great food, make sure that you check out Your Pie up in Gluckstadt. They are at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway, right there across from Germantown High School. These are 10 and 14-inch brick oven-fired pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, gelato, beer, and wine. Also have televisions if you want to catch any of the games. They're also featuring this Cubano pizza. I tried it the other day. It's fantastic. Got a little bit of a kick to it. Excuse me. I'm still suffering from eating it. No, it's got a little spice to it, but it's absolutely fantastic. This is the Cubano. It's a limited-time craft series pizza, so you want to check that out in either the 10 or the 14-inch. Make sure that you download the YourPie app. You will be able to scan all of your receipts. You'll be able to order online through the app and earn points to get you all kinds of goodies, free pizzas, pastas, gelatos, and drinks. So you'll go many times. You want to accumulate your points and be rewarded for doing so. So that is YourPie, 340 Calhoun Station Parkway. This is a locally owned, veteran-owned business that is out there providing a great service and great food to the community. They definitely deserve your support. And everybody who goes thanks me for the recommendation. So go to YourPie this weekend. Take the family, take the friends, take a date, take the guys. Express your inner pizza. All right, as we finish up, I really wonder if I was smarter and had done it better, I bet I could put together quite a, like almost like a documentary of clips showing how the world has gone insane. I've been doing this for a couple of years now. It's exhausting, but I think well worth it to see the craziness that's out there. We're going to get into some weather, some climate change stuff, and some social justice warrior stuff in the remaining minutes we have, starting with the heat. The heat is coming.
And then there's this sobering prediction tonight. America will get a lot hotter over the next 3 decades. The nonprofit First Street Foundation says by 2053, more than 100 million Americans will live in an extreme heat belt in the South and in a wide area stretching from Texas to the Wisconsin border. The heat index in those places could reach 125 degrees at least one day per year.
So that's climate scientists predicting that we're going to get a lot hotter. So what does that mean to all of us? It's going to get cooler. If they keep up their amazing track record of getting every single thing wrong, I'm actually encouraged by that report. It means that the weather will be much milder going forward next 25 years. Climate change, I don't like the heat either. It bugs me more every year the older I get. For some reason, I don't like the heat. But that's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem with the heat is what it's doing to our children.
New study showing how climate change, specifically higher temperatures, is making our children more inactive and more obese. The study published in a journal Temperature found today's children are 30% less aerobically fit than their parents were at their age. Fewer children are reaching the World Health Organization's recommendation of 60 minutes of exercise a day. Now,
so there you go. Climate change. It's making our kids fat. Let me get down into the story. I should have pulled it up and read through it during this last break, but this was pretty funny. Apparently, like every identity in the social justice movement, simply delineating the oppressed and oppressor classes is no longer sufficient. The drive for ever greater victimhood requires a further step. Victims within the oppressed class are stratified by their degree of oppression based on the level of the particular characteristic in question. And what goes through the story and talks about how light-skinned minorities are actually discriminated against by darker-skinned minorities because they're not as big of a victim. So this is all about the oppression. All of this in pursuit of the creation of the ultimate victim. In the fat positivity / fat acceptance domain, the ultimate and therefore most worthwhile victim is the fattest individual possible. The more bloated one can get, the more social consideration one earns. Higher BMI equals higher status. There is a chart out there now, the fatness spectrum. Small fat, mid fat, super fat, and intimifat. I'm not sure exactly what that means. But basically what it is they, the community, the fat acceptance community is claiming that small fats, these are people size 18 and under, have thin privilege over the mid fats, super fats, and infinifats. Infinifats are the likeliest to die of obesity related chronic illness and therefore dominate the fat landscape. This is a social justice warrior has scolded one small fat person for weighing in on something, saying, "You're a small fat. Why are you speaking over super fats?" So this has become what is happening there. There is actually a hierarchy in the obesity movement, and the bigger, the better. The bigger, the more victimized, and so you are of higher value. We touched on this story a little bit. We have this to look forward to coming up.
All this cake needs is flour, eggs, and 20 grams of dead insects. No, you haven't misheard. A team of scientists at Belgium's University of Ghent are trying to find a way to substitute dairy in cakes, cookies, and waffles. They say deriving grease from insects is more green than dairy production.
They are more sustainable because they use less land. They are more efficient converting feed to weight. They also use less water to produce. And in this case, they can be produced within Europe. That will decrease the footprint that other...
All right, so I'm running out of time here. They're going to replace your butter and other stuff with bug fat. They take the bugs, they soak them in water, they smush them up real good, and then they scoop out some yellow gunk out of there, and that's going to be your new butter. Let me see if I got time for this one. This is pretty outrageous.
They told you what at school? That if you're being bullied, what?
You can't go home and tell your parents.
Why?
It could cause the parents to go to the school with weapons. And they'll end up with someone with their life gone, taken away.
So this is what they're telling y'all in middle school. To not go home and tell your parents that you're being bullied. Right? That's what they're telling you?
Yeah, and self-control.
Yeah, so the school's now telling kids, don't go tell your parents you're being bullied anymore because they might come up here and kill one of us. This is where the schools are. I have no idea where that was. It was a TikTok video. I haven't researched it. But, yeah, you got to keep your eyes at the school. Get to the next school board meeting. That's all the time I got for today. Have a fantastic weekend. I'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't.